Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight I'm proud to bring you Mythic Gaming with Tim Espy and Zach McAtee. But first, something from our Olympian archives. I've been questing for a truly mythic approach to space opera for quite some time, and I believe I finally found what I've been seeking in Magnus Nygaard's Dogs of Hades, an RPG published by Savage Mojo. In this setting, mortals, facing the deadly and relentless wrath of Zeus, were whisked away by the goddess Athena and resettled on habitable planets called gardens. The mortals thrived in these gardens, evolved, and through Athena's guidance, they became a mighty space-faring culture that seeks to civilize the barbarian people they encounter whilst manifesting their divine destiny. Athena's garden is the jewel in Athena's crown, and the Athenians the apple of her eye. At present, there is peace with the Olympians, who have come to them bearing gifts, and a truce with the Sacchalids, once the Athenians' greatest enemies. The Sacchalids are a disturbing paradox, barbarians who are more civilized and technologically advanced than the blessed children of Athena. Dogs of Hades is a very human game, and it focuses on human interactions, which are not always heroic, noble, or wise. The social structures, laws, and politics are Byzantine. There's pretense, deception, and treachery aplenty in this game. Fortunately, life's simplest and most enduring treasures can also be found there. One-sheet adventures such as Harpies, Young Love Aphrodite, and Young Love Hera offer further gaming experiences, and the character sheets provide you with eccentric personalities that can be easily introduced into your scenarios. The Spartans in space setting of Dogs of Hades, though vast, is but a drop in the sea of Savage Mojo's Suzerain Continuum, which offers a functional model for running an incomprehensibly vast and multi-thematic multiverse. In fact, all of the company's products emerge from, converge in, and strongly support the model. Dogs of Hades Player's Guide whet my appetite, and now I'm eagerly looking forward to exploring, then experiencing the entire setting. Thank you, Magnus Nygaard and Savage Mojo. And now, without further ado, we go to Tim and Zach. Greetings, Tim, and greetings, Zach. How are you today?
Doing well, yourself?
I'm doing extremely well. And you, Tim?
I'm doing very well. It's good to talk to you again.
Yes, we had some turbulence over the past few months. Blog Talk Radio seems to be going through some changes, but the things seem pretty steady now, so hopefully they'll remain steady.
Yep, everything sounds good so far. So
what is new and exciting in the land of RPGs?
Zach, go ahead. You're the one that's been playing a bunch of stuff lately, yeah?
Okay, so I've tried a couple small systems lately, but the big news is I started up a campaign in the Fantasy Flight Games version of Legend of the Five Rings, which is the fifth edition of the system.
Oh, wow.
Not to be confused with the books they have that are compatible with D&D 5e, because they do have a new line of products. It's under the Adventures In title that a lot of companies are using. But so this is kind of a standalone system designed by Fantasy Flight to focus a bit more on narrative play, building upon the drama that the system is known for. It's fairly simple as far as the actual like role mechanics go. It does use proprietary dice that have, I think, four unique symbols on them. There's a symbol for a success. There's a symbol for an exploding success, which counts as one success and then lets you roll another of that die type. There is a symbol for strife, which is basically an HP track for your emotional health. And then there's also a symbol for what they call opportunity. So opportunity is an interesting thing in that it cannot affect the failure or success of a roll. So if you were to say, I need to get two successes, and I got one in two opportunities, the opportunities cannot make it a success. But what they can do instead is add flavor or like benefits to a failure or success. Like most basic example they use is you can simply add an adjective to something. So if you say, oh, I was trying to maybe insult this person, you know, and then I could say, oh, I wanted to do it stealthily with my opportunity so only they notice. There are mechanical lists of things you can do with it. So maybe if you're fighting someone who has a weakness, you might be able to spend opportunity to learn what that weakness is. You might be able to spend it to recover some of your emotional strife. There's also just like various, I guess you would say, modifiers that you can use it for. Literally endless, because they even suggest that you can like make your own reasons as long as the DM is okay with it. But as far as stats go, you have the five main rings of elements: fire, water, air, earth, and void. And basically, those will represent d6. So if you have a 2 in fire, whenever you make a fire-related roll, you're going to roll 2d6. Your skills, which are going to be equivalent to skills in something like D&D, so they'd be athletics, martial arts ranged, martial arts melee, history, things of that nature. Every point in one of those represents a d12 that you get to roll. So if I were to say, I want to make a culture check with fire, I would say my fire is currently a 2, and I have a culture of 2. So I would roll 2d6 and 2d12, look at the results, and then I can only keep as many ring as my ring is equal to. So in this case, I would be rolling 2d6, 2d12, and keeping the results from two of those dice. So it's a very, very simple mechanic system, especially because stats and skills both cap out at 5 without essentially otherworldly influence. And even that is an unlikely thing to happen until late in the game. So it's a bit more risky, I think is a good way to put it. There's a heavy emphasis on social aspects being their own kind of combat. So they made rules that can function for initiative and combat, quote unquote, that will apply for single one-on-one duels to skirmishes are their generic term for a typical like, oh, there's multiple combatants on each side kind of fight, an intrigue scene. So where maybe it's, say it's a festival and we're all in the room with a bunch of nobles and we have the initiative tracker and things set up and there are feasts and stuff you can use in that setting to maybe start a rumor about someone else or learn what someone else is hoping to achieve here, that kind of thing. So it's pretty interesting the way they put that together to work in that multifaceted fashion. Our group's been enjoying it so far. We're, I want to say, 4 sessions in. Technically 5, because our session zero kind of turned into a bigger thing than just like character introductions. But I've been having a lot of fun with it. And I know they are supposedly going to be starting up with more books, hopefully this year or next year. There was a bit of a pause because they did get, I think it's either Fantasy Flight got purchased or they hired another company to be in charge of this IP. And so like while there's been a transition to the new creative team, they've putting new books out on hold. But I believe, fingers crossed, that should be coming to an end sometime soon.
Oh, wow. Sounds pretty exciting. Tim, have you tried this system?
No, I haven't played in that system that he's running.
Yeah, it sounds very interesting. And you said that Zach had been playing with several different systems. Are these RPG systems, Zach, or card games and board games?
Yeah, so I have a group online that usually we play the One Ring, but right now our DM is getting ready to move to Japan in, I think, a week or a week and a half. So our game's been on hold, and in the meantime, we've been playing little one-offs and things of that nature here and there. I don't know if I talked about it the last time because it's been so long, but we did play a short, I think it was 3-session-long thing of the Labyrinth RPG, like the movie with David Bowie from the 80s.
Uh-huh.
That was a lot of fun. They really captured the vibe of it. The way that the DM's guide/adventure book is written out is at the end of every room, the players roll a die, add what room they're in, and then you basically flip to that page and it has a new room. So it's almost got like a choose your own adventure book type aspect to it, which is interesting. That was a lot of fun. Who played in that one,
Zach, the Labyrinth one?
So that was myself, Jamie, and then our friend Greg, and it was run by our friend Connor. And Greg is usually the one who runs the One Ring. Our characters were fun. It's a very like narrative system, so you don't have stats. You have features, like traits, that are kind of like a keyword. So, for example, maybe you are brave. So then anytime you're making a roll, you can be like, oh, well, I think me being brave might affect this in some way. So, you know, if the DM agrees, then you get to roll extra dice. So we had a human who had been sucked into the world of Labyrinth and just been kind of wandering around there for like, I think he said 5 or 6 years. So I think he got sucked in when he was 8 and he was like 13 or something. And so he's just, you know, he's wearing like clothes that he's outgrown. He's carrying around like an action figure that when he got sucked in. Then Jamie was one of the big horned beasts like Ludo in the movie who her thing was she could control plants. Whereas in the movie, Ludo can control rocks, and she was a gardener. And then I was Sir Mantle. I was a bright orange frilled lizard, a frilled neck lizard, who was wearing knight's armor made of tinfoil, coins, and bottle caps. He had a dollar coin as a shield, and he had a really nice helmet. It's the only nice thing he had because he was extremely, extremely shy. So he would always put the visor down to like avoid having to look at or talk to people. And his weapon, since he's like, he was only like a foot tall, was a human sized nunchuck, just one nunchuck, but he didn't know what it was called. So he insisted it was called a waggle bonk. And then his mighty steed was a hognose snake, which are the snakes that are known for playing dead in real life. And the snake's name was Sir Pent. That was a very fun system, especially I think that would be a good one, too, to introduce younger audiences to. It definitely has that kind of Jim Henson-esque flair to it. They really captured that well. So that might be a good option to teach people who haven't played RPGs before, especially since it's so simple mechanically.
So you're having a lot of fun,
seems. Yep.
Tim, how about you? Are you playing any RPGs?
No, I haven't really been playing. I've just been playing some card games and some video games and stuff. But for the store, there wasn't really. There's a little bit of a lull in terms of D&D stuff, but I have Zach. We've talked about it in the past, but I think it was. I was just talking to my distributor the other day, yesterday. It was Kids on Bikes.
Yeah.
I think it's the second edition. So I forget exactly what it's something that they're re-releasing, and they added some stuff to it. So I had a couple copies of that. So we'll have a couple of copies of that coming to the store. So that should be fun. He said the cover art and stuff is really really cool. So it'll draw people to that at least.
Yeah, from what I've read through the first edition, that's a very interesting system. Definitely aims for the kind of Stranger Things type of feel, and I think they did a good job with it.
Right, yeah, that's what I remember you saying. That's why I figured it would be pretty good for the store. It's easy for people to connect with that.
Yeah.
You know, so easy to talk to people about it. But yeah, so in also with the store too, we used to do board game nights back. This was pre-COVID, where on Monday nights we would have some people come to the store and we would play some board games and stuff. So we're going to start bringing that back in the next coming weeks. So I think it'll be fun to try to do some like one-shot RPG stuff as well. Just, you know, a few hour little few-hour campaigns during board game nights too that we could announce. Maybe Hercules, you can run one, and maybe Zach, and then hopefully I can finally run one too. Maybe that would be fun.
That sounds like an awesome idea. I have some ideas I could bounce off of you at a later time, and we could take it from there.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for, and you know, and also just our normal board game fun nights as well. But you know, just to change it up every once in a while to do a little one shot RPG, maybe a Thing of Dread or 10 Candles or something.
Yeah, I have a couple of different campaigns that I'm running now, mostly for kids, but I'm also going to start a campaign for adults soon. It's going to be based on, I guess what you call like the old Immortal set from D&D, except with slightly different rooms, more homebrewed.
Nice.
Are there any card games going on the store?
Oh, yeah. So that's the big update. So I got a bunch to talk about. So I can start with Magic real quick. So there was a Magic release in the time that we haven't spoke. I don't know how closely you've been following, but this one was called Murders at Karlov Manor. So it was very like murder mystery. You know, there was a tie-in to Clue as well, actually, that came along with it. To give you the idea of like the kind of flavor for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the like overarching story was that there was like a big get together at Karlov is a big like family, if you will, in the Magic universe where Tesa Karlov is the you know, the oligarch, if you will, or whatever the correct word would be, the ruler of the Orzhov Guild. So there was, like I said, a murder mystery thing where somebody, got murdered and there was a whole whodunit thing in the story for it. So it was very flavorful and themed. And some of the cards were, you know, like they were, like case files, like the card art, kind of like a detective case file, if you will, like classified, files was the, was a special art treatment for it, so they nailed the theme pretty well. It's been pretty fun. That's what I was just playing. I was playing on Magic Arena, the online client. I was playing some Karlov draft right before we started talking.
Oh wow! So you can add that to the mix. There are so many different worlds that Magic's created its own multiverse, mostly from licensed properties rather than, you know, their own stuff these days.
Yeah, that's the thing that they've been working on. So the whole new thing, they have a name for it where it's called Universes Beyond, where that's where they did like the Warhammer 40K stuff. They did the Doctor Who, they did the Lord of the Rings. That was all under the Universes Beyond banner, if you will. But speaking of that, there was also one that I was very, very excited for, as you can imagine. So as they did Lord of the Rings and Doctor Who, like I just said, they just came out with Fallout cards for Magic the Gathering. So as you can imagine, I was very excited for that when that came out. I think it was last week or no, 2 weeks ago. So they released some commander decks and some special packs, like booster packs to go along with it. So I got one of each of the commander decks, and they're all themed very well. And there's, you know, a lot of the characters from the Fallout lore and universe. So it's fun to see how they interact with Magic and how they tied, you know, game mechanics and character traits and mechanics to the card game. It's pretty cool.
You know, it does sound pretty cool. How's the reception been?
So the Fallout one has been crazy, crazy. So it's been a stock issue where we sold out pretty much the first day. I had one pack when I came in the next day. We still have some of the commander decks left, but it's been very popular. There's like very low stock or no stock to show for it. So we've been trying to get more, but it's been very tough, unfortunately. But, I mean, it's good that the reception has been good for it, at least.
And are card games still the most popular form of fantasy role-playing?
At least for us, and in terms of, you know, sales-wise, you know, Magic and Pokemon is definitely definitely the biggest for us.
Anything new in Pokemon?
Yeah, that's also, it just came out yesterday. There was a brand new set that just came out. We did our pre-release for it last Saturday, not this past, but the Saturday before. And that one was called Pokemon Temporal Forces. And the idea behind it, so Zach, I don't know, if, Zach, have you seen anything about this yet or no?
No.
Okay, so this set really focuses on the ancient and future variants of the Pokemon. So they introduced some of it when Paradox Rift and stuff, but this one they're really focusing more on it, where like there's Walking Wake is one of the Pokemon where it's like the ancient form of Suicune, Zach, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and then you have Raging Bolt was one, and I have a couple of them in front of me. What was it, like Iron Crown and Iron Leaves? That was like Psychozar and Virizion, I think. So there's ancient and future versions of that, so that's been really cool. And then, Zach, do you remember back in the day there was, excuse me, Ace Spec cards? Do you remember those?
Yeah.
Right. So in the card game Hercules, right, there's Pokemon, there's energy cards, there's stadiums that go in play, then there's items. And then back in the day, they used to have these cards that were called Ace Spec Trainers, where they were really, really powerful trainers in the game, but you can only have one of them in your deck. You know, so they let you do really powerful things like, you know, like search, you know, your deck for any Pokemon and, you know, different random strong effects. So they've been out of the game for a while. And then, so now, Zach, with this set, they brought A-Spec cards back to the game.
Okay.
And the art for them, Zach, is so cool. So in Japan, they got them a month or two before us. So there were some pictures floating around online and, so normally Pokemon borders, well, now they're silver bordered, but these ones, they're like textured and they're bright pink. All right. So I was like, wow, I've never seen, you know, a bright pink textured Pokemon before or Pokemon card before. And I was like, well, I'm hoping that we get them here, you know, for the English versions and it's not just like a Japan exclusive kind of thing. And yeah, and sure enough, so our treatment is exactly the same. So we have these bright pink A-Spec cards now in English. So I was really excited, and there's seven of them, and I got four of them so far, so I'm trying to get the last three. So I was really excited for that, to see that. But yeah, so the reception for this one has been really good as well. The special illustration rares that they come out with, like these special art versions, are always really, really nice. But yeah, Pokemon, as usual, has been doing a really good job, and it's been a lot of fun with our Pokemon tournaments and stuff. So, yeah, it's been going well.
And Zach, are you still running your Pokemon campaign?
Yeah. So the online party, we've still been having relatively routine, like, you know, one a month, twice a month kind of games. But the in-person one, we did have a friend move, and now another one is also about to move. So he had already transitioned to online for them, but like the scheduling has been stilted. But we have had, you know, multiple sessions for both parties since the last time we spoke. Some fun things included, they just had an encounter in the woods. There was a huge horde of deer Pokemon, of these grass type deer Pokemon, Tim, Deerling and Sawsbuck.
Deerling. Yeah.
And so people had like said, oh yeah, we saw them, but we kind of gave them a wide berth. When they come across them, they noticed they're moving weird. Like they're really slow. They don't seem to notice we're here. They're all kind of moving in one direction. And so they managed to find out that there are some other Pokemon, that are known as like their perfume Pokemon, and they can do all sorts of crazy things with scents. And so there was a mother, Aromatisse, and a child, Spritzy, and the child had turned on a nice aroma and was too anxious to turn it off. So now the deer were just following them for days, trying to eat whatever smelled good in a trance. And so they had to like help, you know, slow down the herd, get to the baby that's making the scent, and then find a way to like get it to stop. You know, felt very much like an episode of the show kind of thing. Like that's a plot that would happen, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Are you owning any other role-playing games right now?
Just those two, and then the Legends of the Five Rings. And so that one, it's in person. We've got four players. One of them is about to move to North Carolina, so we need to discuss how we're going to proceed there. But, yeah, it's been fun. This first arc is they're all brought to a wedding, and it's effectively a murder mystery. As they approached the wedding, they were stopped by Imperial guards in the middle of nowhere, because this is a rather small wedding for a different clan. And it turns out that the spy master who works directly for the emperor of the country is attending this wedding for reasons unknown. And so he pulled them aside before they actually showed up to say, hey, you know, there's already been some suspicious stuff happening, but then, you know, last night, my security guards found a dead body. It'd been beheaded and mutilated beyond recognition. We can't identify any details on it, but I have access to the guest list, and the guest list is still equal to who's here. So even though one of the people here died, everyone is still here. So someone is pretending to be someone they're not. And huh. Yeah, and he's like, you guys were not here. You're the only ones who had that arrived yet. So reasonably, you're the only ones I can assume from the get-go are innocent. And also, people won't talk to me because I'm the Imperial Spymaster. They know that. So it's not like I can just walk around and be like, how about them dead bodies? You know? So even if he has a group of low-level samurai who are unaffiliated with him, you know, he's like, if you guys can find me answers, I can make problems go away for you. But if you don't get me answers and you get in trouble, you're on your own. You know, so they've been trying to like suss out who is and isn't who they say they are. And of course, because it's a murder mystery, like every character has at least one thing they're trying to keep secret, one kind of suspicious motive in some way or another. So they actually bought a small cork board, some yarn and thumbtacks, and they've been like doing the web of yarn, like, okay, well, this person said they were here with this person, so we'll put a line between that, you know, like, it's been fun watching them try to, like, reason it out so far.
It sounds like a lot of fun. Any card games you're playing?
So I'm trying to think. It's been a while. I think the only thing is Jamie has gotten more into Lorcana, which Tim has mentioned before, is the newer Disney collectible card game or trading card game. So Jamie's been buying a lot of those cards. She's been really getting into like making decks and trying to get some of the rares and things of that nature. So that's been a lot of fun. We've been playing against each other. That's good for little two-player stuff. And I think we mentioned this before, but it's slightly less punchy than Magic. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a slugfest because you win by you gaining points, not by depleting an enemy's points. So, like, depending on deck, you could have a deck where it's like, I don't even really engage with you. I'm just here to just get as many points as possible quick, you know?
Wow. Very, 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 very good variety of things. All of them sound like fun.
Yeah, so the other thing that I wanted to mention real quick and kind of it is an announcement because it's not we haven't posted it anywhere and only a few people know, but to talk about a new card game, there's a new card game that came out called Star Wars Unlimited, where it's, you know, based on the Star Wars franchise. It's also made by Fantasy Flight, actually. But yeah, so it's a new TCG that came out that has been super popular, and I'm very glad that we ordered it when we did, because when I spoke to one of our representatives, she was like, yeah, we had to stop all orders because we just couldn't keep up with the demand for it.
Wow.
So it's been good, and it's good when people are just organically and naturally coming into the store and asking, hey, do you have Star Wars Unlimited? And I was like, as a matter of fact, we have it on order. We'll have it here soon. But I haven't had a chance to sit down and play a full game yet. I watched a couple of our regular Pokemon people play a few games. And how it works is also a little bit different than how Magic and Pokemon and even how Lorcana works. How it works is you're attacking a base. So you can have up to two bases, I believe, is how it works. And those have colors associated with it. So it's kind of like Magic, where you can only have certain colors in your decks corresponding to the leaders and bases that you have. And how a turn works, it's not like how Pokemon or Magic works, where you're taking your turn and then you pass the turn to the next person and then that person does their turn and et cetera and so on. How Star Wars Unlimited works is a turn is I'm doing something and then you're doing something, then I'm doing something until one person can't do something, and then that would, they take the initiative is what it's called. And then how that works is that they would go first next turn. And then if Zach were to take the initiative, then I would continue doing my stuff that I could do that turn until I couldn't anymore, and then we would move on to the next turn, if you will. So it's a little bit different in terms of interaction and how you're playing the game, but it seems fun, and the games don't last super long, so you could jam out a few games in an hour or so. But the cards look really, really cool. There's, you know, base versions of it and foil versions, of course. But, of course, there's, you know, the alternate rare versions of them where they're different arts and full bordered. And they look really, really cool with some cool foiling. A few of our regulars happened to pull some from their boxes and brought them by. But, yeah, we're really excited for that. And we will be doing a league for that as well at the store, like how we do for Pokemon and how we do for Magic right now. And they do a thing that's very similar to how Dragon Ball used to do stuff, where they send you, it's called like a play kit for the week, a weekly play kit, there we go, where you get special promos and deck boxes and different swag for the game that you can only get from those weekly play kits. So that helps drive engagement and people to come to the store and play the game and hang out, because, you know, TCGs really only last if the game is good. That's why Pokemon and Magic and Lorcana have been, you know, Lorcana for a much shorter time, of course, but, you know, especially Pokemon and Magic have stayed around for so long. It's just that it helps that the game is a good game as well. But you need people in stores and you need people playing the game to help it, you know, continue to succeed. So that's what they seem to be doing with this. And they have plans for the next 2 years for the whole game as well. And they only plan on releasing about 4 sets a year. So they don't, they're not getting inundated too much with too much stuff to keep up on. So, you know, it's about every quarter they release another set with all new cards and stuff. And they have that planned for the next 2 years. So it should be fun. I'm very excited for it to have a new game in the store, and hopefully we can continue to keep doing it.
Are they themed, Tim?
So far it's only one set, and it's a whole bunch of characters from all different movies and different things from the Star Wars universe. I'm not sure that they haven't really announced anything for the next sets and what they're going to be about and what they're going to focus on. But, you know, Star Wars, the universe is huge. They could focus on many, many things and be adding, you know, they could add vehicles with starfighters and, you know, TIE fighters and Death Star could be a base and, you know, who knows? They could do anything.
Yeah, the Star Wars universe is vast. Is there anything going on the Marvel front? I picked up the player's test guide to the multiverse a while ago, but they've changed the game since then. Is there anything? The releases seem to be slow, though. I think only two products came out for the multiverse game.
Yeah, I know we have something from the multiverse at the store. The card-based one, you mean?
No, it's a role-playing game.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, we have something multiverse-related in our board game section that seems to be a card game. I forget exactly what it is.
I didn't even know about that. Next time I come by the store, I got to check that out.
I'll have to double-check.
I was surprised we weren't inundated with more Marvel stuff because the Marvel universe has gotten large, and now that they made the Daredevil and other Netflix shows canon, it's doubled in size.
Yeah. And we're getting Marvel Magic cards, too, at the end of the year. So that's something else. We'll end up... yeah, but they announced it at some convention. It's been recent since they announced it. But, yeah, it was on their timeline for 2024. We'll have some Marvel cards. There's nothing announced other than that it'll be in the universe, but... But yeah, we'll see what comes of it. It should be interesting. I'm curious to see where they go with it.
They approved two tarot decks set in the Marvel universe, so I guess they're being very experimental out there with what they do. If they have a Hercules card, put it aside for me.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's Hercules in Lorcana. I have to see if I pulled any if I open more packs whenever I get them, I'll pull them off the side too.
Okay, yes. Anything Hercules related, put aside, or
Olympian, yeah, absolutely.
Related, put it aside for me. I have all these envelopes full of cards from games I'm never going to play, but Hercules cards. So wow, it seems like the pandemic slowdown is gone. And it seems like we're getting floods of things. I stopped watching the Hasbro atrocities video, so I don't know what's been going on there for a while. Has that situation calmed down, or is there still outrage at various things? I heard they were selling Dungeons & Dragons, and they weren't, and you know, there's all this information floating around.
Yeah, there's always stuff going back and forth with them. Especially on the Magic front, the I don't want to use the word vitriol, that sounds bad, but the unhappy, masses, if you will, with a lot of the Magic stuff, it seems to be calming down a little bit. Like I said, luckily, at the end of the day, the card game is still good, and we still have the card game at the end of the day. So people are still coming and playing and having a good time. You know, there's always people laughing and smiling in the store when we're playing. So I think at the end of the day, everybody's still happy. Yeah, exactly, and that's what's important.
So is anything new under development for either of you?
Let's see. Nothing too much. I've just been doing a lot of the stuff at the store. Me and them had our yearly little meeting get together last week, year before, so the week before. So Zach, I have to keep you updated next time we talk as to what exactly was going on. But just talking about what we're going to be doing at the store for the future and, the next few years coming up. We have some modernization that we're going to be doing to our card system finally at the store. So that's going to be a big, big undertaking. But we have to, one of our friends, luckily, one of our good friends has a tool that is, going to be invaluable to us when it comes to sorting and stuff, sorting all of our cards. But he's actually moving to a new, bigger, better store. So we're just waiting for him to get all settled in until we start bringing all our stuff up there to him. But, that's the main thing for me and the store as well. Getting some modernization done and some new stuff into the store, now that it's the new year and it was a little bit of a lull starting in the year, like it usually is, but it was going on a little bit longer than we kind of were predicting. But hopefully this weekend was very, very, very busy. So I think hopefully this was the turnaround. So let's mark it on our calendars that this weekend was the turnaround, hopefully.
So hopefully
everything continues to push forward, in the season's coming up, now that it's getting nicer and stuff out. So we got a bunch of stuff going on. So it'll be interesting. It'll be fun. And it'll be a lot of work, but, it's worth it in the end.
Yes, it is. And do you ever think we'll see a retro, like a return of the coin-operated video games with the role-playing themes and those? There used to be places where all the computers were networked and you could play like Doom. Do you ever think we'll see something like that return again? Because those seem to be gone.
Yeah, I would love to, have like a LAN type of place, but it just seems like now with computers being so, I'm not going to say cheap, but more easily accessible and easily understood to the more wider audience, it's a lot easier just for people to go on their computer. And I'm a victim of it too, so I'm not saying anything, but it's just easier for you to sit in your computer and use play on whatever. That's what I was just doing with Magic. I didn't even have to get up. I was just playing on my computer. So, like I said, I do it as well. It's not a bad thing, but it's just different. That's all.
Okay, understood. Zach, is there anything you feel nostalgic about that you'd like to see return from your life as a gamer?
So I was always fond of the original Gauntlet arcade games.
Yes.
I feel like as a genre, we don't really see a lot of games like that anymore. Especially, I think even Gauntlet itself, they moved to being kind of like a 3D, like third person at some point. But I miss those kinds of arcade games, sitting there next to somebody on the joystick and the buttons, like that, or the big, massive, like, six-player X-Men arcade beat-em-up game.
There we go. Yep.
Yeah, I think I still have an Atari or a Nintendo, rather, and a Super Nintendo. I might even have an Atari sitting around somewhere. I miss those games, and Gauntlet was one of my favorites as well. I remember when it was a coin-op game, and then I had it on different platforms, then it just kind of vanished. So haven't played it in a very long time.
Yeah, there's an arcade place in Morristown that has a copy of the original one there. And so it's one of those places where you get a wristband, and then you just kind of scan the wristband when you leave and you pay for how long you were there, and all the games are set free to play. Time we go there, I spend quite a bit of time playing Gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Gauntlet.
Yeah,
Hercules, go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say if you haven't been to the one in Morristown, it's really good. It's called Video Game Vault, I think is what it's called, right? Yeah. Yeah, Video Game Vault.
I think it's just the Game Vault. Yeah.
Game Vault. Yeah. Where it was in an old bank, actually, so he has some of the older games in the bank vault that's still there. So it's a really cool venue to go to. They got everything that you can imagine. So you got older stuff, like how we were saying with Gauntlet and you know, in early arcade stuff, as well as, you know, newer light gun games and pinball that's old, pinball that's new. He's got a bunch of stuff, and he actually comes to the guy that owns it. He also does a bunch of repairs on the machines that are there, of course. He comes to the electronics store that's two doors down from level one, actually, to get, you know, the little bits and bobs that he needs from Paul at Wayne Electronics down from us.
Wow.
But yeah, his spot is amazing. I forget when did we go, Zach? That had to be a couple of years ago now, but
I think the last time that we went together was we did like a Friendsgiving thing. I think it was the day before Thanksgiving. A bunch of us went down.
Yeah. So we played some, you know, me and Zach played some X-Men. My judge of an arcade, you know, when we go to that kind of stuff, I have to look and see if they have X-Men arcade, if they have the Simpsons arcade, and if they have the Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade. If they have, you know, one or two of those, then okay, yeah, we're good. All right, well, it's a good one. We'll go to that one.
Wow, so I now learned that there's a place that still keeps that flame alive, so I got to check that out one day.
Yeah, there's him. There was one in Dover, and then that one was called Marcade, where it was the same idea, where you just paid like a wristband or it was $20 for, you know, 4 hours or whatever it was. It was a good deal either way because you were getting your value out of it for sure. But then I think he upgraded. I think he just got to a bigger place in the mall, Rockaway Mall, I think, actually, too. So there's a couple around. Definitely some fun stuff.
I have to look into it. I like Gauntlet because I wove campaigns around Gauntlet. The storylines, they were easily translatable into early old-style role-playing. So I used to have campaigns where people can wander off with the characters and play the video game, and then what happened in the video game would affect the campaign. So that was a lot of fun, I remember. Are people...
Yeah, I remember.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I remember playing Gauntlet Legends 64 a bunch on Nintendo 64. That was when I was most, and Gauntlet 2 a little bit.
There seems to be a movement towards retro with the RPGs recently, I've noticed. A lot of people are talking about that. Do you find that in Level 1? Are people asking for retro games in terms of RPGs?
That's why I grabbed the Kids on Bikes thing, because it's a very retro, you know, flavored RPG system that I think, you know, like we were saying before, that a bunch of people are familiar with and like that, you know, aesthetic and overall, you know, overall flavor to it. It's been very popular, and it still has been very popular. You know, a little bit less now that, you know, Stranger Things isn't as popular as it once was, but it definitely still is in the normal, you know, zeitgeist of people coming to the store.
And are people still being brought in by the movie, or is that passed too?
Which one, the Stranger Things?
The D&D movie. It was out there for a while. That was bringing in lots of people to D&D, and I haven't heard people talking about the D&D movie or looking forward to another movie or anything at all since then. Are people still in that?
Yeah, you know, it's really funny. The past couple of weeks, there's been a bunch of people talking about the D&D movie. I don't know, maybe it just came to streaming in a different place or something, but
maybe.
That's really weird. I've had like two or three different conversations recently about the D&D movie.
Did you see it?
I haven't. that's been the conversation where everybody's like, "Wow, you haven't seen it? It's actually like really good." Like, I didn't think that it would be as good as it would, as it was. But like every person that I've talked to, you know, has said, "Oh no, you have to watch it." Like it was a recommend from everybody.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that there were other D&D movies. There were two that played in this country. Then there was a third one that never made it to this country, but it was shown in Europe. I haven't seen the third one, but I've seen all the other ones.
Have you seen the newest one?
Yes, I saw the newest one. It was a good movie. It was fun. It didn't really make me want to go out and get stats for all these characters and scenarios to play them in. But I had a fun time watching it. I think I
owned it. That's exactly what everyone was saying. That it's fun. It's just a fun movie. You know, and sometimes that's all a movie needs to be. You know, just a fun movie.
They had tons of toys, and they had tons of books. They had a novelization. They had a prequel. They had a bunch of books for kids with some of the characters and some of their backgrounds. But I haven't seen anything new either. I haven't seen any new books come out. So I'm glad people are still talking about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Now, our conversation is nearing its end for today, but we still have a little bit of time. What would you like to leave us with, Tim, that will whet our appetite for what's coming ahead? I know you shared a lot of things that have come out and are coming out. What do you think people get most excited about, and how could they hook up with it?
Yeah, so like I said, I kind of broke the news about the Star Wars Unlimited thing coming out. That's the thing that I'm most excited for. So I'll be pushing that, and to hope we get a nice community. So it'll be a good time for everybody to jump into a new game, to learn with everybody. That's how we started our Magic community and how we got it, as big as it was. Like, I was just learning Magic when we first started selling it. So, this is just going to be like how Star Wars is to us, where everybody's learning together. So it'll be a fun, growing community where we can all, learn and do some fun stuff together. But yeah, that's the thing I'm most excited for. And then also the other thing that I touched on was the new, modernization, where I'll give a little bit of a spoiler where, people that are looking for stuff, specifically cards and hope maybe some sealed product, can even just see right from their computer at home if they're building a deck, ooh, I'm building this, this special commander deck right now. Oh, I need this card. They would be able to go on our website and type it in and see if we have it. So that's the hope, and that's the little teaser so far.
How about we do a special on the Star Wars release next month?
Yeah, let's see. I'm going to hopefully start. Hopefully I'll have the league started and stuff by then. But at the very least, I'll have a bunch of games under my belt. So it'll be fun to talk about that.
Incredibly awesome. I remember Star Wars number 4, but it was the first one to me. Came out in 1977 when I was graduating high school. So Star Wars has been
pretty much,
in my life for a very long time. I'm a senior citizen now. I've gone through periods of loving it, periods of being indifferent to it. I never really hated it. I've had all sorts of mixed reactions to what is Star Wars at a particular point in time. At one point, I was mixing Star Wars into my other role-playing games, as well as other popular culture sci-fi like Stargate and Star Trek. And so two of the campaigns I ran in Pennsylvania before we left Pennsylvania was Die, Gungan, Die and Wookiee Holocaust. I should revisit Star Wars. And Zach, how about you? You are a renaissance man of gaming. What is new and exciting that you would like to tell us about coming in the months ahead? And also, how can people enter your gaming universe? Because I'm sure a lot of people wonder that.
So you can always get a hold of me by either searching for me on Facebook or shooting me an email at mrmunnin@gmail.com. As far as things coming up in the future, I have several board games that I'm excited to talk with you guys about that we've gotten within the past couple months or so. Without spoiling too much of them, the one I'm most excited to talk about deals with the fox breeding experiment in Russia. And that'll be a fun discussion when we go over that one.
Okay, well, in our next show, we'll devote the first half hour to Star Wars. And how about we devote the next half hour to the four games you'd like to talk about?
Sure.
Sound good to you, Tim?
Excellent. Yep, absolutely.
I'd like to share a card game I found. I don't know where I found it, but it's called The Grimwood. And it's published by Adventure On Games. And they have a website, www.adventureongames.org. And it's kind of very flexible. In you can make it ancient, you can make it modern, you can make it fantasy, you can make it mythical. You can do whatever you want. And you're wandering through a forest trying to gather certain items or hunt certain animals. And, you know, it's kind of, you could decide what you want to do with the other players and then do that. And one of the uses I found for it is a random forest encounter set for my role-playing games. So I'll look through the Grimwood, pick out all the creatures and the conditions that I'd like to be in a particular area, and then shuffle the cards, and they pick the card, and that's what they encounter while they're wandering around the forest. So it's never the same thing in the same forest, and if they go to a different forest, I'll put in different characters and different monsters and circumstances. So I found that to be a handy-dandy role-playing game tool in addition to a card game.
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you so very much. I'm glad that today happened and that we got to talk without problems with technology. And I look forward to our next conversation. I've missed you guys. I wish you both very well on all your endeavors. And I will talk to you very soon.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it was great.
Thanks for having us.
Hopefully we'll see you soon.
I would like that very much. And thanks to a wonderful audience. Whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you called and you're patiently waiting in our queue, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Good night, and thanks again, guys.
Thank you very much.